Good morning and welcome to JSL's conference call to discuss results relative to the first quarter 2021. Today with us, we have Mr. Ramon Alcaraz, CEO of JSL, Fernando Antonio Simões, Chairman of the Board of JSL and CEO of Simpar, Guilherme Sampaio, CFO and IRO of JSL, and Denis Ferraz, CFO of. At this moment, all participants are connected in listen-only mode. Later, we'll start a Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please request the help of an operator by pressing star zero. We'd like to inform that this audio conference is being recorded and simultaneously translated. Before moving on, we'd like to say that forward-looking statements made during the company's remarks, relative to the company's business outlook, operating and financial targets, are based on beliefs and assumptions on the part of the company's management, as well as on information currently available for the company. Forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions as they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not materialize. General economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors might affect the future results of the company and thus lead to results that will differ considerably from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. I'd like now to turn the floor over to Mr. Fernando Simões. Please, Mr. Simões, you may carry on. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to thank you all for participating. We are now starting the earnings call for JSL Logistics for the first quarter 2021, a very special quarter for myself, for the company, not only because of the results you'll be able to see, but also because of other strategic moves, the main one being my succession as CEO. As of April the 14th, Ramon has taken over as CEO of JSL Logistics, and I took over as the chairman of the board for the company. Along with this move, JSL Logistics acquired the remaining 25% of stock from Fadel, which still belonged to Ramon. So Ramon now became one of the main individual shareholders of JSL Logistics and taking over as CEO as of April 14th. I'm very, very satisfied, happy. It's in line with our strategic planning of having each company with its respective CEOs with different targets, governance, and of course, we're talking about listed companies, as you know. Thank you, Ramon, for your trust, confidence. I wish you all the success, happiness, satisfaction, and I'm very happy to be together with you. Now, moving on with the presentation of the main numbers, I turn the floor over to Ramon, who will conduct. Thank you. Thank you, Fernando. Only the invite to be the CEO of the largest logistics company in Brazil, maybe Latin America, it is a great honor. And I take this as a responsible role because I know the challenges are huge. You have been at the company for 40 years, 12 years as CEO. It's a big challenge, but that motivates me because I know we have a team of warriors at JSL. And my role is to take the company to an even higher level. And I start at a very good moment because I'll highlight the numbers for Q1, and I can already anticipate we're very good numbers. I'll start with net revenue, the best in our history. A gross revenue of 1.49 million, 26% up when compared to Q1 2020. A net revenue of 868 million, 25% up when compared to the same period of last year. An EBITDA of something close to 128 million, ROIC 10.5% when annualized, and a free cash flow of 56 million. Congratulations to all of the team of JSL. I'd like to take the opportunity to say that the recently announced acquisitions have been approved by CADE. I'm talking about TPC, which will strengthen our warehousing segment, and Rodomeo, which will strengthen our road transportation segment for specialized cargo. On page 3, we have an overview of our business. We're the only company which is end-to-end. We cover the whole logistics chain with experience of 65 years working in the productive sector and also across the main logistic flows across the main industries that supply the country and the world, from the raw material to the final customer. And we are quite balanced across all those 38% in dedicated logistics with loading and transportation of raw material and intralogistics, be it for the industry, be it for our warehousing arm. 44% under cargo transportation. Transport road cargo from end-to-end, warehouses, and final customer. Transportation of waste for disposal in landfills. As for warehousing, we have 137,000 square meters of dedicated warehousing and multi-client. And we take care of the receipt, storage, and shipping of all goods. 13% of our business is focused on urban distribution, from small retail outlets and mini grocery stores all the way to the last mile, the warehouses, the B2C, including reverse logistics. And that segmentation, specialization, is what ensures the business resilience, the resilience around our revenues, even amidst economic uncertainties, as can be seen by the numbers. We have segments which require specialization, know-how, investments, and that ensures us an entry barrier for competitors. And we're balanced between asset light, 59%, and asset heavy, with contracts which have been assured. That's what makes our company quite different, sets us apart from other companies in the same sector. Now I turn the floor over to Guilherme, who will address the numbers in more detail. Guilherme, over to you. Thank you, Ramon. Good morning, everyone. I'll now present the numbers in more detail for the first quarter 2021. But before I go into the numbers, I'd like to say that in this quarter, we have already consolidated Fadel and Transmoreno wholly. But the numbers here do not reflect those acquisitions for Rodomeu and TPC. I'd like to start with net revenue, the largest number in a quarter, 868 million, 25% more than the first quarter of last year. Moving to the operating result, which is in our case considers IFRS 16, we led to an EBIT of 84 million in the first quarter and an EBIT margin of 9.8%, which represents a growth of 50% when compared to the fourth quarter of last year and a contribution of 2.7% to the margin. It's important to say that the result followed the evolution of revenue with the contribution of Fadel and Transmoreno, but it was also impacted by the cost of inputs, parts, tires, fuel, we realized for the past months. And that led us to revisit the depreciation rates we were using for our asset base. That increase was not only on inputs, but also on new vehicles, used vehicles, and that considerably changed the pricing of our inputs and our assets for used cars. In EBITDA, we closed at 128 million, an evolution of 5.8% when compared to Q4 last year, and a margin of 15%. Worth mentioning that in the past week of March, all automakers stopped, and that of course had an impact on our result for the quarter. Moving now to net profit income, our consolidated numbers, once again, last quarter, I mentioned that starting now in the first quarter, we would announce the consolidated numbers, but not only the logistics number. We reached the level of 42 million, up 31.3% when compared to the fourth quarter of 2020. And if we exclude the effects of the amortization of the acquisition price of Fadel and Transmoreno, we came to a net income of 47.7 million in the quarter, the largest net income in company's history, and a margin of 5.5%. Moving on to page 5, we break our numbers down between asset light and asset heavy. Asset light closed the quarter at 514 million, in line with the fourth quarter of last year. This was expected given the dynamics of our asset light business, which reduces its volume in the first quarter, and the operating result of 36 million and an EBIT margin of 7.1%, and an EBITDA of 65 million with a margin of 12.7%, as you can see on the slide. It's important to remember that the asset-light presents lower volumes the first half, which impact dilution of our fixed costs. Moving to the asset-heavy, we closed the quarter at 355 million in net revenues, an EBIT of 48 million with a margin of 13.8%, and an EBITDA of 63 million and a margin of 18.3%. Just to stand out, the numbers for asset-light and asset-heavy do not take into account the amortization of the acquisition price of Fadel and Transmorena, which have been excluded from this presentation. On page six, we talk about the company's CapEx. We closed the quarter at 50 million net CapEx, as opposed to 122 million in the first quarter of last year, which represents an ability to grow without the need of high investments at the same proportions. Moving on to page number seven, we talk about our capital structure. We closed the quarter at 600 million in cash, enough to cover our debt until 2023. A gross debt of 2.2 billion, as I said, 600 million in cash, and a net debt of 1.6 billion. That leads us to a leverage level of net debt EBITDA of 3.1x, and net debt added EBITDA 2.4x, and an average term of 3.8 years. The cost of debt, net of taxes, reached 4% at the end of the quarter, and the credit rating for the company in the local scale, AA- for Fitch and AA for S&P. With that, I turn the floor over back to Ramon for him to make his final remarks and talk about our focus for 2021. Ramon, over to you.
Thank you, Guilherme. To close, I'd like to make a few highlights for 2021. If we were to add the numbers you have just informed, the gross revenue from the companies we have just acquired, and as I said, the transaction has been approved by CADE, our revenue in the first quarter would reach 1.2 billion. That would mean a growth of 44% when we compare these numbers to the first quarter of 2020. An exceptional result for the year. I'd like also to highlight my focus for 2021. I'll be focused on operational efficiency, on customer service level, on digital transformation, on taking care of our people, and of course, our third-party truck drivers, on cross-selling, on new services, on managing acquisitions, and also on new acquisitions. Thank you all very much for your attention and your patience. I now turn the floor over to the operator for the Q&A session. It will remain available, not only myself, but Guilherme, Fernando Simões, and Dennis, the company's CFO, SIMPAR's CFO.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now start the Q&A session. To ask a question, please press star one. To remove your question from the list, press star two. Our first question comes from Lucas Marquiori from BTG Pactual.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for taking my question. Before my questions, I'd like to wish you success, Ramon. Welcome. All the success in the world in this new journey as the company's new CEO. About the questions, I'd like to take the opportunity, Ramon, if you could comment, based on your experience at Fadel, what kind of strategic aspects would be important to emphasize at JSL? What kind of improvements do you intend to bring to the new company? Up until recently, you were in a different scenario, a different positioning. What kind of aspects have you identified where you saw opportunities to improve so that we can understand how you see the company, your vision about going forward? A second question about capital allocation, since Dennis and Fernando are here as well, if we could continue to see the main capital allocation for growth coming from acquisition activities. The company had a relevant track record in terms of acquisitions for important deals, right, in the last months. Is that going to go on to continue? What are your objectives in terms of growing? Okay, if you could give us that vision as well. Thank you. Those are the two questions I have.
Lucas, good morning. Thank you for your well wishes, and I'll do my best to be in Fernando's shoes as the company deserves. I am very motivated, very excited about it. As for your question, it's important to say that one of the things that attracted me to the group was that the JSL values are very similar to those at Fadel. We both believe that the company will move forward over three pillars: excellence around client, people management, and results management. JSL, without a doubt, has grown, focus on client, diversifying across different segments. That, of course, strengthens the company even further amidst economic uncertainties, especially now, right, in such a difficult moment. And a proof of that are the numbers we have just presented. And the same goes to people management and also results management. Under this third pillar, the results, I'd like to comment that I do believe in the company. We do not have full control over revenues, of course, but we do have command over costs. And that's where I want to go deeper. JSL, at twice a year, they have a strong cost reduction package. That's also my mindset all the way from Fadel. And we want to dive deeper in that cost control, not only because it's obvious, but it's because we've suffered significant impacts in this last year, increasing prices, tires, car parts, fuel. So we need to keep a close eye on that. And the better we can manage costs, the better we'll see the results in the bottom line. That's what I believe in. I hope I have addressed your question. And as for your second query, I'll turn it over to Fernando and Dennis to approach them. Thank you.
Lucas, good morning. This is Fernando speaking. When we talk about logistics and integration and management, it's part of our strategy, no doubt, to be a recurring business acquisitions. Logistics is extremely pulverized, fragmented in Brazil. There are many opportunities in the country. And of course, in terms of gains of scale, economies of scale, JSL already has that, thank God. And that, of course, when we acquire, we have better opportunities for cross-selling, generating more businesses. It also improves the quality. So it is a go after acquisitions meant of growing organically, of course. As you can see, we have grown organically as well, even with the pandemic. You can see that happening inside the company as well. Okay, thank you and have a good day.
Okay, very good. Thank you for your answers and have a nice day too.
Our next question comes from Lucas Laghi from XP Investments.
Good morning, Fernando, Dennis, Guilherme. And I also wish all the success to Ramon as the company's new CEO. Two questions I'd like to explore with you. First, as for the margins, we saw a positive advancement of margins in under asset heavy, specifically in the fourth quarter of last year. But I'd like to have some more color on the asset light side. You're talking about a 13% margin. So, and I know that prices around maintenance, fuels will impact that. So, do you see that as a structural pricing increase, systemic price increase, or was it a one-off occurrence? Then you could see those margins converging to different levels in the second quarter or perhaps
in the second half. I know those higher margins have not reflected yet coming from Transmoreno. You didn't have the time. So I'd like to know how those numbers are evolving as you integrate those companies, as you bring them in. And another follow-up, if I may, concerning acquisitions. We know that logistics generate cash. The leverage level is below, is above 3x. The net debt EBITDA ratio is above 3x. So I'd like to know what you can tell us about that. Can we expect more acquisitions for this year, or can we expect something more concrete only for 2022 as you continue this, now that you have PPC Rodomeu on your plate, right? Those are my two points. Thank you.
Lucas, good morning. Thank you for your question and for your good wishes and your trust. As for your first question about the asset-light arm of the business, you are correct. Asset-light suffers more quickly the impact of cost hikes, especially diesel. Asset-light is around third-party contractors, and it has a smaller capacity than asset-heavy arm to tolerate those readjustments until we get to a point to renegotiate those numbers. We pass some of the readjustments on to our partners to survive, right? As we were renegotiating with our clients, I can already anticipate to you that negotiations went really well. So, especially when you talk about fuel readjustments, so we'll pass that on in March and April. But there is a mismatch, right? We anticipate those numbers to our partner before we renegotiate with our partners. But that's the way it works. That's the final equation, if I may. And we may even achieve some gains from that. And the main strategy of having a good balance between asset light and asset heavy. It's important to say that all our asset heavy contracts are closed under fixed and variable costs. So when you have a strong readjustment in fuel, the transfer is automatic, more automatic than when it's on the asset light for arm. As for the second, I'll address the acquisition question, which has to do with the acquisitions which have been announced: Transmoreno, Fadel, TPC, and Rodomeu. About Fadel and Transmoreno, which are done deals, we already have managed gains, especially around the procurement of inputs. JSL has enough size to be able to buy inputs, tires, parts, fuel, better condition than other companies, of course. We already do that. We can already see gains, both coming from Fadel and Transmoreno, and this will even grow. We have the same expectations now with TPC and Rodomeu. As for the second part of your question, I'll turn it over to Fernando for him to answer. Please, Fernando.
Lucas, before going into the answer, just a comment about the first question. Ramon said something I'd like to comment on. We are very happy for what we've done at JSL throughout the years, and we do believe, if I may say, we have created a unique platform for this business. But we are confident that anything can be improved. And Ramon, a person like himself, a person who knows the business, who brings that into his DNA, and who joins the company, hitting the ground running, with good, talented people, I am sure. Now we have a dedicated leader to the company. There is a lot to do, and we now enter a new development cycle, and you will see results with this improved management. Not because it's not working now, but it's because now we have a specific focus on the company. And now, sem par, we will look at the broader picture and will now dedicate exclusively to JSL with Ramon. And this will be a major contribution across different fronts of the company as we start growth and transformation cycle. As for acquisitions, and in answer to your query, we are quite reassured with our level. And we've been saying this, we can be around 3x, slightly above, slightly below. Our target is to be below 2.5x. And our financial planning, we simulate everything, even with the COVID, even with the COVID. But with our business diversification, we've had good cash generation. This has been proved to market, right? We would weather that. I'm not a prophet, but I've always said that because I'm learning with the business. We believe that cash generation and resilience are key. And that reassures us to say, yes, it is in our planning. I'm not trying to create any expectations in the market, but acquisitions will happen this year, important acquisitions this year, and there are several. And I am okay, we are okay, reassured at our leverage level. You already see the debt level, but you do not see the synergies that we acquire, as Ramon has mentioned. And this will contribute to an even higher cash generation. So we are quite reassured that within our planning, if an acquisition comes up that will affect the capital structure, Simpar is ready to come in and help us reap the opportunity, providing the necessary resources for all the managers to run the business and consolidate all those interests. Thank you for your question.
Thank you, Fernando. Thank you, Ramon. And congratulations on great results once again.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star one. Now the company will answer questions sent through the webcast platform.
Hello, everyone. Guilherme speaking. I'll read the first question from Hannah, and then I'll answer that along with Ramon. The question is, in this high interest scenario, will this change the company's strategy around leverage level? And what level of SG&A would be sustainable for the company going forward? I'll start by talking about the high interest rate scenario, and then Ramon will tackle the SG&A part of the question. The first thing to say is that our operation, Fernando just said, we generate cash, and 60% of our revenue does not require need to raise funds to finance our growth. Going to asset heavy, where we have the larger part of our capital allocation, we're talking about long-term contracts with a matrix for readjustment. So we are somewhat hedged, protected from increase in interest rates. When I think about pricing, I take into account that interest rates curve, and that's the expectation we have around that. Does Ramon want to mention about SG&A? Ramon, over to you.
I will comment on your answer. As I said before to Lucas, the previous questions, one of my main focus is on operational efficiency and cost management. And of course, SG&A are the items under those pillars. I think we have opportunities there. And the big advantage of working around cost is that if you reduce 0.5%, this will go straight to net income, the bottom line. So I'm not in a position yet to predict the level of reduction, but there are opportunities. Costs are like your fingernails. You need to keep trimming it because they tend to grow. So it is only natural for us to have more people managing that and then to better analyze it. But I do think there are opportunities, and we're going to work on it. And I do see a trend of bringing costs down.
Just one additional comment, Hannah. I think we do have some initiatives in place. We're not going to go into detail now, but initiatives to reduce prices, financial management going forward.
to bring down financial costs as well. Of course, mitigate the impact of this high interest rate scenario. A question is, the CDCA, which was approved at the board meeting on April the 29th, we cannot comment on that yet, given our legal structure around the transaction. We cannot give you any detail as of now. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, to ask a question, please press star one. I'd like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Ramon Caraz for his final remarks. Mr. Ramon, you may carry on. Well, my friends, colleagues, thank you so much for participating in our earnings call. For your patience with my lack of experience, I'm still on a learning curve. This is a new cycle, but I'm quite motivated, as I said when I first answered the questions. The most important thing is that my beliefs are very, very close to JSL's beliefs. That's the main important point for things to work. Number two, JSL has several elements, diversification, people, which leads me to believe we have a bright future ahead of us. We do have an opportunity to manage costs and resources, which is quite significant, not only thinking about gains and the bottom line, but also thinking about gains around sustainability. If we are able to better use equipment, if we are able to eliminate idle routes, this will result in better sustainable results in the environment. We'll be thankful. As Fernando said, the company has come all the way to here. Congratulations. It's all very good. But what brought us here does not ensure we go forward. We have to be prepared for the new opportunities the market will offer, and we'll focus on them. Once again, thank you. And Fernando would like to add, or Guilherme, that's all I had on my end. And you can be sure we'll do our best only to have good news in the next upcoming earnings call. Thank you. JSL's audio conference is now over. Thank you all for participating, and have a nice day, everyone.